Hey, comedy fans, welcome to another edition of the Comedy at the Carlson Cast. I'm your host, Vinny Paulino. We got a great show lined up today. Joining us in studio, Mr. Dan Soder. Today's episode is brought to you by our friends at Three Heads Brewing, the makers of Rochester's most delicious beer. Remember, folks, do good things and always be kind. Now, let's kick it into the studio and start a show. Hi, Mike. Hey, everybody. Good morning. You may know my guest today from Showtime's hit show Billions or from his HBO stand-up special Son of a Gary. He also hosts SiriusXM's The Bonfire with Big J. Oakerson Monday through Thursday nights at 6 p.m. This is his second weekend here at the Carlson. We're thrilled to have him back. It's Dan Soder.
Hello. Hello. Yay. Look at this. I look frumpy.
You think you look frumpy?
Nah, dude, you look great. Look at that sweater.
Thank you. I got a lot of shit for this sweater.
For who?
People are like, hey, Mr. Rogers.
Dude, no, that man looks warm and comfortable. For those that, you know, you're probably watching either live or if you're watching it at a different time, it's a blizzard outside.
It's rotten out.
Yeah, it's pretty terrible. So that's a good snow. That's a great snow sweater.
Does the city get this bad?
No. No. This is crazy. This is insane.
Flying into this must have been a little off-putting for you.
Here's the thing. Everyone called me the day before my flight, and they're like, they were more worried about the ice coming through LaGuardia. It's maybe an hour flight. I don't even know how long it is. We were the last flight to land. We landed, and we were it. So the airport was empty. So I got here, and I was like, what the fuck?
And there's Mark just, hey, Dan.
Yeah. He was like, he's got his monster truck out front.
Yeah, Mark's got a truck that, I mean, he could drive to Antarctica. In that
so thing. I was like, also the confidence in which he spoke to my agent. My agent's like, so, you know, what do you think? Cancel the Thursday show, Friday, Saturday? You guys going to be all right with snow or whatever? He's like, we're going to be fine.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, that's crazy. And then I landed and there are no flights. And I was like, what's up? But there were people last night. Weren't a lot of people, but there were people at the show. Great audience. They were fun.
Yep.
There's some drunk broads in the front, some drunk older ladies. Really wanting their opinion. No, my God. But it was... It's impressive. It's impressive how Rochester responds to snow.
I'll say we're a sturdy people.
Yeah, north. I call you guys north of the wall.
We are north of the wall.
You guys are just wildlings. You know, just how you're like, yeah, we're fine, whatever.
So for those of you who are tuning in, please remember we are going to be doing the drawing for New Comic Night after our interview with Dan today, so everybody knows who's going to make it forward to that. And the text line is open. If you have questions for Dan Soder, you can send them to 585-484-0265.
Now, very early.
We are up very early, but you and I have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, let's do it.
You got the new season of Billions starting soon. How pumped are you?
Oh, it already started. Yeah, we're finally up to the episode where I think this Sunday where I show up, where me and Dollar Bill show back up.
Okay.
So it's fun. Yeah, you know, at the end of season five, Axe left.
Yep.
And it reshuffled the deck, and so yeah, it's fun where Kelly O'Coin and I, who plays Dollar Bill. We pop back up.
Now, your character has evolved quite a bit on the show, which I think is interesting because I remember we talked when you had just started doing it. You said, this is the greatest job I've ever had.
It was crazy.
It's the coolest thing. I'm here with like amazing actors.
Yeah, it was the coolest job. Easily the coolest thing I've done.
Yeah.
It was the opportunity to work with Damien and David Costable and Kelly O'Coin and all the people I got to work with. Everyone at Axe Cap was awesome. It was just a really cool experience.
Yeah. But your character... has evolved and become a bigger part of the show as it's gone on. Which
yeah,
you had a kind of a big arc there for a while.
Yeah, the story arc with Mafia and Taylor was really cool because Asia Kate Dillon and I are friends and they're awesome. Just the way on set, the way we get along, it's very fun and very loose and so I think they saw that kind of chemistry and also the way that the Taylor character was brought in as Mafia's intern.
Right.
And then they ascended the ranks and kind of took Mafia along with them. And so that was kind of a cool arc to be a part of.
Well, let me ask you this question. You know, start off as a comedian. They wrote you in because they originally were just going to put you in like the what do they call it? The first episode, the pilot. They were like, hey, just be in the pilot.
Yeah.
And then you're like, well, I can wait. And they wrote you a part in the show.
Yeah, they asked me. They were like, we can put you in the pilot. Showtime liked me, and obviously I'm friends with Brian and David. I've known them. So they were like, we can put you in the pilot. If you wait, if you want to roll the dice and we get picked up, we'll write you a role. We'll find you something. And it really was one of those things where I was like, yeah, you guys are gonna go to series.
And see that's not being short-sighted. I really do appreciate that when people are just like, you know what, I will wait, I'm not gonna just jump to be in the pilot.
I've been short-sighted, and when you do that stuff you're like, why did I do this? Why did I do this? And I just think they're, I don't know. I kind of, the coolest part, when you, every young comic knows this. When you're trying to just be a comedian, you have to do so much terrible shit, terrible gigs, put up with terrible people, put up with terrible food.
Correct.
You're just like, you have to eat so much shit. Mm-hmm. That's always the way that I've looked at it, was like, when you start being a comedian, they put a pile of shit in front of you and they're like, start eating.
Whoever finishes it first gets the guest spot.
Yeah. And then you do that. Exactly.
Right.
And you do the guest spot, and then you do the MC, and then you do the MC weekend. And then you, like, I remember being in Tucson co-featuring at last, and you're just like trying to move up. And then when you start getting stuff, I think people forget how much shit you had to eat and what that shit tasted like. So I was always like, always be remembered when there's even a little bit of shit. Like when they're like, you have to wake up and do press, you know, for the shows.
You have to talk to a guy in a cardigan for...
Well, no, this is, you know what I mean? But I'm talking about in cities where you don't want to do it. Like,
right,
when you're in a city where you're like, you know the morning show and you don't really have a good connection.
Sure.
And you're like, yeah, I knew I was going to come in here and be like, probably do 3 hours, talk wrestling, football, whatever it is.
Stay tuned, kids.
But I think a lot of people forget that. It's easy when you're on set at Billions and there's PAs bringing you coffee.
Yeah.
And you can go get very nice food at lunch, and you're just like, when they don't need you, you can go take a nap. It's such an... Versus when I worked at Bed Bath & Beyond and I was hung over because I did open mic on Thursday and had a good set. So, of course, I got to get blackout drunk. And then I have to be at Bed Bath & Beyond at 8 in the morning and I get caught sleeping in the pillow room. That's different than taking a nap. You know what I mean?
Why do they even have a pillow room if it's not for sleeping?
It's so tempting. It was so tempting. I was like, what are you guys doing? A room, a legit room of this size, much taller, filled with throw pillows. So I was just like, oh, I just pushed a bunch against the corner.
Product testing.
And laid down and hard sleep, REM cycle sleep. And my manager was like, Dan? And I was like, yeah. And I did the thing like I had slipped. I just tried to turn my face so they couldn't see my sleep face, but I got in trouble.
That's hysterical. So you did this show. You're experiencing this whole new world. And then your part gets bigger. Like, in terms of acting and your experience of acting, like, was it a lot of pressure? The more lines and the bigger your character got, did you feel that? Or were you just like, you know, a fish to water?
No, yeah. I was like terrified. I was like,
yeah.
What the fuck? This is going to be hard. It's going to be very hard to do and I'm going to suck. But there was, that's what I mean. The people, there was this scene in season 4 that set up me and Dollar Bill's like goofy boxing match, mm-hmm. which was like the most fun thing ever. That was like a dream sequence, filming that with Kelly, who rules. Kelly O'Coin just rules. And so it's fun to work with him. And
yep.
We've been together since season 1. And so where we're at now in season 6 is you'll see, you know, this week. But it was this, there was a moment where I snap on Wendy. Mm-hmm. And there's like, who's played by Maggie Siff. And there's like this big scene where I come off the elevator. It's like serious. And like I yell. And I was like, this is goofy. I'm going to look like an asshole. And David Cossible, who plays Wags, like there was a moment where he was like giving me a thumbs up on takes. Like I would do a take and he'd be like, yeah, like that. And it was like very supportive, very, very supportive, which I've heard. This is the only thing I've ever really done.
Mm-hmm.
This is the biggest thing I've ever done, mm-hmm. acting wise.
I don't hear about a lot of actors being like that supportive of each other.
But that's so what I heard. Like... I heard they were like, other sets aren't like this. And I heard that was because of how Damien and Paul kind of kept things, because Damien's a truly great guy,
yeah.
And like working with him, man, season one we're filming this scene where I'm in Axe's office and they can't run air conditioning, you can't run fans when you're filming because
right.
of sound. Everything has to be silent except the two actors talking in the room. Mm-hmm. very that's the one thing I know about acting, shit has to be silent. So yeah, they're like, you know, quiet. If they hear anything, like, we can hear that, and they're like planes and shit, it's fucking wild. So we're in Axe's old office, which is this big glass office,
mm-hmm.
and it's hot, it's like summer, and we're filming and the AC isn't on, and it's me, David Costable, Damian Lewis, and then like the cast, and it's this, I think the first scene I have with Axe, where I'm like talking about loyalty.
Okay.
And we're like waiting or whatever, and I have to fart, and I just think it's funny, so I like fart in the office, but like in a funny way, like, hey, like, and Damian Lewis is like, did you just fart in here when we can't run any fans or anything? And I was like, oh man, I didn't even give it a second thought. So I was very meek around him for a while after that, but he was so fucking cool.
It's nice to learn those kinds of lessons your first big scene.
It's a pretty dumb lesson to learn, but yeah, it was important. Don't fart around the, you know,
the star of the show.
Leads.
Yeah,
no, he was
farting. Don't fart around the leads.
Yeah, but Damian was cool. Damian came out to a show one time at the Cellar, and that was like very fun because, you know, it was outside of work, Damian. I didn't really get to hang with him outside of work.
Well, you're still doing stand-up, obviously. You're acting. You love stand-up. I know that.
Yeah,
I don't think you would ever not do stand-up. I think you're one of those guys who would always be, no matter how big, if you were acting, doing movies, you would still do stand-up. Right, Dan?
Yeah, I don't even know if I would. I wouldn't be surprised if you never see me acting something again. I don't know. It's just a situational thing.
Sure.
It's like, I don't think acting is fun, but I'm a comic. So it's like, if there was a choice, I don't really even know if that would become a choice.
Okay. Well, the last time I saw you was 2019.
Yeah.
We've had a long few years. You've talked about doing shows outside, doing all these things. Now that you're back, do you find yourself like time warped a little bit? Like you feel like you're just like kind of picking back where you left off?
No, man. Look at me. I'm all bearded. Like it really is. This is the Dan that would come through the time portal and be like, Dan. It's me from 2022. Mike McDaniel might take the job with the Miami Dolphins.
You got to stop it.
Yeah. You're going to be constipated for 5 days. Don't worry. Suppositories don't feel that weird up your butthole. You'll find a way to enjoy it.
Yeah. It's your version of Flashpoint.
Yeah, this is my Flashpoint.
But it
absolutely is. I'm a completely different person. I think I'm not. What a grandiose thing to say. I'm different, man.
How's it affected what you've done on stage?
I have a lot more fun on stage now.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think I kill as hard, but I think I think I'm funnier.
Okay.
I think the killing can catch up.
So let me remind everybody, there are four more shows this weekend.
Yeah, what a way to sell it.
There are four more shows here at the Carlson.
Oh, man, I don't know. The product ain't as good, but, you know, I enjoy making it.
And from what I understand, Dan thinks it's very funny, so you should come.
Yeah, man, I think there was a part of the pandemic that stopped me from wanting to pander to people.
All right, I got a lot of listener questions this morning. A lot of people want to talk to you, Dan.
Sure.
First question up, do you get more Bonfire or Billions fans at shows?
Shout out all the Bonfire fans.
Crackle, crackle, dude.
Honestly, I would say it's 70-30, 80-20 Bonfire Billions.
All right.
And that is the way it should be, because Bonfire fans know me and know my humor, because they're like seeing me be funny with the funniest person on the planet, Jay Oakerson. So it's like, when you're a Bonfire fan, you're going to know. I'm not going to do Bonfire references.
Sure.
And Jay doesn't do that either. But if I bring up something that's been on the Bonfire, people know what I'm talking about.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to go like deep cut and start doing Corey Feldman drops, but I'm going to, it's like doing comedy in front of your friends is Bonfire fans. Doing comedy in front of Billions fans is like doing comedy for your friends' parents.
Got it.
It's exactly what it feels like.
How do you as a performer feel like you kind of get to that sweet spot?
I don't care anymore.
There it is.
I treat everybody like they're Bonfire fans.
Perfect.
Because Billions fans will stick around or they won't. But like these white people in sweaters just being like, I like Mephee. I wonder if he's going to talk about Paul Giamatti. And, you know, and I'm up there talking about dogs licking peanut butter off testicles. It's, you know.
That's a Bonfire show right there.
Yeah, but it's what I want to talk about because it's like flowing through a blizzard, man. I want to talk about stupid shit.
Be real, man. So this question came in from Joe, and he wants to know, have you been following the Lewis and Big J train with dabbing all the time?
Oh, I'm against it. I'm oddly enough, I love Legion of Skanks. You know, I'll fucking always throw skank hands. I don't even know if I do it correctly. Lewis is gonna be like, you fucked up skank hands. Dabbing, I've dabbed and gotten too fucked up.
Yep.
I'm like one of those guys where I'm like, I'll just smoke a bowl. I don't need it.
Dabbing not for soda. Okay, next question.
But they Jay and Lewis love dabbing. And then it just makes them molasses men. They're just like, brrr. I mean, Jay's still so fast that he looks normal.
Okay.
Do you understand that?
I do, yes.
You understand how fast you have to be comedically to dab? And then Lewis is fucking Lewis. He's a comet hurling towards Earth.
Right. At all times.
At all times. Lewis is constantly the Armageddon comet. But Jay is so fast comedically that he can dab and still be on time, which is fucking nuts.
Okay. Okay. Next question. This came in from Damien. He says, fellow son of a Gary here.
Hell yeah.
I was wondering what nights you prefer to perform on. Thursday when the crowds are soberish, or the weekend shows when they're drunker but more responsive?
Thursday. Thursdays are, in my dream world, it's a sold out Thursday. That's always the most fun. One show, You get to just throw it all at them. You get to have fun and fuck around. I like Friday and Saturday shows. They're very fun, but there's more of a... it's more formal on Friday and Saturday, whereas Thursday is more casual and just kind of like, hey, you know.
I've told people for a long time the Thursday show really is the sweet one.
Yeah, that's my favorite one. It's always my favorite one of the week. Is it always the best crowd? Not usually, or I don't know, but it's usually the most fun.
If you're going to a comedy show on a Thursday night, I assume you need it. I need a laugh.
I also kind of assume that you know what you're buying. I feel like you're I feel like those are people that are like, they knew you were coming. Friday, Saturday feels more like, hey, it's Friday, it's Saturday. Let's go to a comedy show.
Awesome. He followed this up with, just as a note to you, and I was not at the shows last night. I'm going to be there tonight. The Mormon religion was founded 35 minutes from Rochester in Palmyra, New York. Great show.
Yeah.
What is this about?
Fucking minutes away. I have a long bit about getting COVID in Salt Lake City.
Okay.
And it's just about Mormons. Sorry. People of the Latter-day Saints, members of the Latter-day.
We're not looking to insult them.
No, I'm kidding. I just listened to a very, last podcast on the left. I just listened to their Mormon, because I had this bit for
a while. They did a five-part episode on the history of the Mormons.
So I'm listening to it just because it's funny to see, not like they have any of the similar thing. My joke's about soaking, but theirs is I always like learning about that kind of shit to be like, am I off? Am I, you know?
Well, there's a plug for last podcast on the left if you haven't heard it, ladies and gentlemen. Next question. This came in from Carl at Who Are These Podcasts. He would like to know if at SiriusXM, this is like a behind the scenes question he has. He wants to know if when Anthony Cumia was let go from SiriusXM, if you were ever offered a job to be the third mic with Opie and Jim.
They floated it. They floated the
idea. Was there like an offer though?
Not a contract offer, but there was a phone call.
Because apparently you were on there a lot when that was going down.
Yeah. I think when Anthony got fired, it fucking spun the show. Because it was Opie and Anthony. So it was, I think they talked to a lot of comics.
Yeah.
I think the feelers were out to a lot of comics to kind of see, you know, kind of like what happened with Stern with Stuttering John.
Yep.
I think they were like, but they didn't really do an audition process. You know, I think it was just kind of one of those things where they were looking for a third and I had been on it a lot.
If they had offered it, do you think you would have been tempted?
Probably not.
Yeah.
For the main reason that I wouldn't want to be anybody's stepdad.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't want to come in and...
Sloppy Seconds?
Not even that. Opie and Anthony, I grew up listening to it.
Sure.
I learned about Louis C.K. and Patrice O'Neill and Bill Burr because of Opie and Anthony and... So I think there would be too much
baggage?
I was just too young of a comic.
Okay.
And I love Jim Norton. I fucking love Jim Norton.
I think
he is one of the most underrated comedians out there. And his stand-up's so fucking good. And I just like, it's okay to say no sometimes. People act like you're ungrateful if you don't say no. But it's like, I know a lot of people that don't say no that... have burned out and people don't want to hear from anymore.
No,
that's a scary thought of someone being like, shut the fuck up, dude. I don't want it. I feel like we're in the age of oversaturation. So I feel like you can really flood the market with yourself.
I think every performer has one of those times and always where they feel like they should have just said no. Do you have any that stick out?
Yeah. Guy Court. MTV2's Guy Court. I should have just said no.
Okay.
But it was such an embarrassing thing because I just don't have that personality. I'm not. The people that ran that show were great, and they knew what they were making, and I didn't know who I was, and so I thought I could be one of those like emboldened guys that's like, tell your bitch to shut up, and instead I'm like,
not for you,
yeah, not me, and I. There's people that know themselves in this business. If you're a comedian and you're listening to this, don't feel weird if you don't know who you are yet, because I've been doing it close to 18 years and I'm just starting to figure it out.
Right.
I think my last special, if anyone would be like, oh, you have stand-up, I'd be like, please only watch Son of a Gary. Please only watch Son of a Gary.
Don't watch the Netflix half hour. No, don't watch the rest of it.
Comedy Central hour. I don't think it's terrible, but Son of a Gary is the only thing that I'm like, that's the closest to my sense of humor as I think I've gotten so far.
That is the great work of Dan Soder. When you look at it and you say, this is the best representation of myself.
I hope it's the start of great work.
This is the best representation of myself to this point.
Yes. Yeah, that's the way I'd say that.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, it's got you know, I think everything before was me trying to do stand-up.
You know, in a way, I see your San Francisco 49ers hat. I know you're a big fan. I know you're a big fan.
Great
sorry.
Season.
I'm sorry. It was a good season.
I love them. I'm proud of them no matter what. I was very proud of them this season.
I don't want to go too deep into football.
You hear that,
there.
Boys? I'm proud of you. Yeah, no. Fucking made it to the NFC Championship.
But it's really, you have an interesting relationship that I have to touch on here. And we talked about it a little bit before the show started. So for those of you who are a little behind the eight ball, I'm going to try to keep this really fresh here. Mike McDaniel, mm-hmm. who's the offensive...
Michael McDaniel, don't you let his mother Donna hear you call him Mike. You will call him Michael. I named him Michael, not Mike. She would always say that.
All right, Michael McDaniel. Michael McDaniel.
Yeah, it's Michael.
Michael.
I call him Mike. You can call him.
I'm gonna call him Michael because I don't want to hear...
Yo,
any
don't
crap
piss
from
off
Dorothy.
Donna. You want to piss
Donna.
Off Donna? Fucking call him Mike.
Okay, Michael
and
McDaniel.
And spill stuff in her house.
The current offensive coordinator of your favorite football team is like your childhood best friend.
It's I don't know. This makes me believe it's a simulation.
Okay.
This is the thing that makes me believe it's a simulation. Or God, okay. Whatever you want to call it. Because the only thing my dad and I had that was a clean relationship with anything was the 49ers. It was the only thing we could talk about. It was the only thing that was like, my dad was in and out of my, very fun guy. Mm-hmm. He was super fun to be around. Terrible father. It would not call, but then would show up and crush. Would just be awesome.
Gifts,
funny.
Niners.
But would call me rarely. But when we would talk, we could always talk for 30 to 45 minutes about the 49ers. This is 89, 90, 91. I was at his apartment, I was at my grandmother's apartment that he was living at in 94, 93 when Montana was traded in the San Francisco Chronicle. It said Chief Joe. It was like our
traumatic event.
And I grew up in Denver, which if you grow up in Denver, you give in to Bronco Nation. The Bronco Nation is – the Denver Bronco fandom is – they're very good fans. Mm-hmm. Denver Bronco fans are very good fans because they fucking love the Broncos. Mm-hmm. They're not like the Seahawks. They're not like those assholes who kind of like their team.
I'm familiar with this concept in Buffalo – Buffalo Bills territory of Rochester, New York.
This is you, Seahawks. This is you. It was one of those things where my mom met my parents met in the Bay Area. Terrible divorce. My mom didn't want to be reminded of my father, so she went back to her family's favorite team, the Broncos, and I stayed the 49ers fan because mm-hmm. I was born into it, mm-hmm. and I loved it from the time I could remember. So it became a point of like, fuck you to everyone in Denver when they'd be like, John Elway's the greatest quarterback of all time. And you're like, well, you guys are idiots. And he also lost a Super Bowl to Joe Montana 55-10.
Yeah.
Joe Montana's the greatest quarterback of all time.
Well.
Dan Marino sure did lose one in 84.
He certainly did lose a Super Bowl to Joe Montana as well.
Yeah, so
but
we keep
might,
going.
We might argue.
I'll keep collecting the body bags if you want, but Joe Montana fucking rules. Watch that series on Peacock. Made me want to run through a wall, but it just, the 49ers became kind of this like identity for me where it was like, it was me and my dad. It was the thing that we shared, even though he fucking didn't even want to be in my life, but it was just a thing that I loved the Niners and I would have to defend myself all the time because people are like, you're from Denver. You live in Aurora. Why do you like to? And I'm like, fuck you. I love the Niners. It was a fun team to love.
Dan Soder, I got to tell you, this makes me love you even more hearing this because I am a Miami Dolphins fan in Bills territory.
Yeah, in the
arch rivals, man.
Which is crazy. That's crazy.
I take my life in my hands.
Yeah, I was in an AFC town. You're in a fucking divisional rival town.
Yeah, it's a problem sometimes.
So it just became this thing. And then McDaniel, he moved from Greeley to Aurora in seventh grade. And through our friend Jason Poyle, we started hanging out. And he became my best friend. He just was like video games, everything we liked, sports. He loved football. He was obsessed with football in a way that all of this makes sense.
Yeah.
He was obsessed with football in a way that you're like, yeah, dude, if you have an obsession like that, like the way McDaniel was obsessed with football, if you're into cars or some shit like that, follow that. Because you will be, this is the way I felt about comedy.
Yeah.
It genuinely was like, we had this weird thing. I hated my mom's boyfriend. Fucking hated my mom's boyfriend when I was in middle school. Didn't want to stay at my house.
Right.
So from Friday to Sunday, I would stay at McDaniel's. I would take a bag to school. I'd put it in my locker. He lived close enough to the middle school that I would walk with him home. And we'd spend the night Friday night, hang out all day Saturday, sleep over Saturday night, watch football all day Sunday. And then my mom would come get me at night. And so I got real, you know, we got real close. But Saturday nights, I always wanted to watch SNL, and he'd be like, all right, we'll stay up and watch SNL. And then 8 a.m. Sunday, he turned on NFL primetime. Like, he didn't miss any NFL coverage. He put on ESPN, like, and we were 11, we were 12.
So Michael McDaniel moves through the ranks, starting with the Shanahans in Denver.
Yeah.
And he's moving up the ranks. He's,
well, he Mike followed, Shanahan, and yeah, then he went with Kubiak to Houston.
Right, but then he ended up working for Kyle Shanahan again in Atlanta, right?
And
then
Washington.
Washington, I'm sorry. Then going to San Francisco,
yeah,
he's the offensive coordinator of your favorite football team.
We were talking about that before the show. It was like, I never saw that coming. Because I'm like, I remember during the Harbaugh years.
Yeah.
I went to... Michael was with Washington. And I went Niners at Washington, and I got tickets through McDaniel, and Katie, his wife, was like, you can't wear anything 49ers because you're
a guest.
You're a guest of the Redskins. Sorry. It's the name of the team when I went to the game. It's in my memory. You're the Commanders.
Gonna, are you going to be a Commodore?
A Commander fan or whatever the fuck they're called now. But I was like, okay, so I had a 49er shirt under my hoodie because I was like, I can't, for just how much I love the Niners, I can't not wear a 49ers thing to a Niners game. So I wore a shirt under a hoodie, and then I just had to quietly celebrate when the Niners crushed them. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, they'd get a pick, and I'd be like, yes, just sitting in my seat.
If I go to a Miami-Buffalo game,
yeah,
you better bet I go in street clothes.
Oh, my God.
You better bet I go in street clothes.
So it was funny that, to have that Washington situation, to have all that stuff, and then McDaniel, Kyle goes to Atlanta, is the or coordinator, bring Mike's there with him, and then I got that text. Kyle Shanahan got hired by the 49ers, and then I got a text from a Bay Area area code that said, I'm a 49er now, dude. And I was like, is this? And he's like, it's McDaniel. And I was like,
that's
it was
amazing.
Insane.
That's amazing.
It was insane.
Michael McDaniel is interviewing to be the head coach of my beloved Miami Dolphins today.
Today.
And here's my question.
Yeah.
If he gets this job and lands this job, will you please give me his cell phone number so I could call him on Sundays?
No.
Okay.
I won't do that.
All right, understood.
But I will
I'll ask
his wife to politely please get you a shirt. It's all, I don't know. I can't.
I'm joking.
Yeah,
that's wild.
Yeah, it's... I don't even do it with the 49ers. Like, I let him... it's his job, dude. Like, he doesn't come to the comedy club and be like, what bits are you doing? You know what I mean? We hang out before and hang out after, and we talk about it, but it's crazy because...
it has to be surreal.
Yeah. It was... the Super Bowl run was the most surreal thing. The Super Bowl run was the most surreal thing in the world because I had an open January, and I had a ton of Delta Sky Miles, so I just flew out there for every game. And I got to, like, hang out with them and hear about the game.
That's so, like, just living a dream.
Man, it was awesome. If he takes the Dolphins job, I'll be, wherever he goes, I'm going to support him and be proud of them. But
you're Niners forever. I understand.
Yeah, I'm Niners through and through, but I will also cheer on McDaniel. Now, I hope he doesn't go to the Dolphins because my girlfriend Katie is a diehard Patriots fan, and I'm not allowed to wear Dolphins stuff. So I wouldn't mind if he waits a year and then takes like a Ravens job.
Listen,
or something.
She seems great, but get rid of her.
Where
that's
I could wear, I would like to be able to have another team that doesn't upset the love of my life. You know, it's like, I don't want to bring that home.
I understand. Well, yeah. Dan Soder's going to be here for four more shows this weekend. He's an open book. He's a great performer. He's one of the funniest comics I've ever seen live.
Thanks, man.
I'm very excited to be there tonight for the shows, but there are still some tickets left.
There's tickets left.
And there's not a ton, though, Dan.
There's tickets.
Dan, for the Thursday, for the Friday, Saturday shows, you're doing pretty good, pal. You should be very pleased. People are excited to see you in Rochester.
I appreciate it, Rochester.
So what I'm saying is to you watching right now, get your tickets before they're gone. CarlsonComedy.com. Dan Soder, watch him on Billions. You can listen to The Bonfire.
Listen to The Bonfire. Go listen to the podcast and go to The Bonfire.
I have SiriusXM, and I have it set on Faction Talk.
103, baby. Yeah.
It's mainly just for my friend, Dr. Steve.
Oh, okay. Hell yeah.
It's for my buddy, Dr. Steve.
I might have to reach out to Dr. Steve.
Please do. Tell him he did the Carlson cast today, and he'll lose his mind.
Yeah, about this constipation being back, Bonfire fans.
You know,
it's haunted me.
I had to consult with Dr. Steve about a thing. I'm doing the polar plunge Sunday morning. I lost a bet and I have to jump into the lake.
What? With a group or by yourself?
It's like a group thing. It's like there's an
event every
year.
All right,
so
there'll be people there to help you if it
goes
terrible.
Like if I die, yes.
Yeah. All right, what have you been doing to prep for it?
I don't know.
Have you been doing
that?
What's the
like, what are you supposed
what's the
to do?
Wilm what's the Wilmheim thing? The breathing thing? Like and then you just go sitting cold?
Not even that.
Dude, try it. At least get it. When are you doing it?
Sunday morning.
Buddy.
Sunday morning.
Well, I hope you don't die.
Raising money for the Special Olympics. So.
Hey, that's cool.
Yeah, we'll make some money for them. But I did do it. I'm doing it begrudgingly as a bet. And Dr. Steve said to me, he says, here's what you do. Don't drink alcohol before.
Smart.
That was the only thing he told me. I was smart. Like, it's at 9 a.m., Dr. Steve. Who,
yeah, dude.
What do you think we're doing?
I don't know. Maybe someone wants a couple nips before they jump into a cold lake.
Yeah, let them get fished out.
Yeah, dude.
Just have the Jack Daniels waiting for me on the shore when I come back.
Oh, my God, dude. That's like, they should have one of those St. Bernards with one of those barrels full of brandy when they pull you out.
All right. Well, Dan Soder, we will see you soon. Make sure you follow Dan. Check out The Bonfire. And we're going to be back in just a second with the drawing for New Comic Night. Stay tuned. Thank you for being awesome and watching another episode of the Carlson Cast. Don't forget, we're streaming live on Facebook and YouTube every Friday morning. You could also follow us on social media on Twitter and Instagram at CarlsonCast. You can listen anytime on iTunes, Google Play, and we're now available on Spotify. You should also check out an amazing app called Laughable. And on the Laughable app, you can connect to your favorite comedians in a way you never thought you could before. Download it in the App Store and visit CarlsonCast.com for information on more shows. And don't be a jerk. Rate and review.